Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women.
Milking it, ladies and gentlemen. All staying standing up. Oh, I sound very sexy tonight. I didn't even realise. You shouldn't say that about yourself, but hay fever, it has a sexy tone. So, welcome. I could cough and get rid of this, but I don't want to. So, welcome to the show. Give me a cheer if you listen to the podcast. Give me a cheer if you're sweating from forehead to ass crack. And give me a cheer if you got married 3 weeks ago. Guys, stop going on about it. Stop it. Sure,
I was just me. Checking. You were just cheering along because we're so sick of this one talking about it. I would kill for a new story. Joking. It was the best wedding on the planet, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing.
We had to sing Africa by Toto. Like, that was the group song. I've never heard so many people switch keys at the center. Oh, no, no,
but
no.
Everybody also switched keys in a bowl afterwards. It was,
hey!
Well, that's a joke for people around in the 70s, apparently, I think. But
or people in the Isle of Wight. Same joke.
Hey! Come on. So, guys, how are you guys? This is Detective Asshole here,
Hello.
Taylor Glenn.
Hi.
Detective Sasshole, Katie Wilkins.
Hello. Can I take a moment to explain my outfit?
Yes, please.
Wow.
Well, guess what? I'm sassy now and I'm doing it. My skirt says, Optimistic Mum on a Picnic. But my black T-shirt says, I just remembered I'm my kid's napkin.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Also, Kate, do you want to explain your evolution from sassy to your the next stage? Or is that going to just come naturally?
Yeah, it's going to be organic. But okay. Coming soon, my new resolution is to become entitled.
She's done sassy.
Sassy was a gateway.
Entitled comes next. And we're hoping 2025, she'll just be a cunt. It's impossible to picture. It's cute.
It's funny because you can only make that joke about somebody who would never be a cunt, and no one's ever made that joke about me. So. Okay. This is where sinking a drink meets sinking a boat. I'm talking about the Titanic, okay. Yay. It's where a tequila slammer meets the actual slammer. Talking about a prison.
I really like that one.
Thank you very much. Female workplace. And it's where getting smashed meets smashing a window or something. So, these are getting harder. Okay, it's a true crime podcast with a twist of life! Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like you are ready to meet our fantastic guest for this episode. Today, we are joined by the brilliant writer, Marianne Levy!
Yay!
Bryce up here, hello.
It just got brighter.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. I have a heart.
Hi. Thank you.
Marianne, we have one question on this podcast, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Massively, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell us more.
It was in my rackety 20s.
Right.
And I lived in a tall house in Frinsby Park, about three doors down from a crack den.
Nice.
Hi, my 20s.
That's nice. Three doors down is kind of, it's far enough away not to really be affected, but it's kind of like
it's
cool.
Like, yeah. Location.
There's a Costa there now.
Of course there is.
But this is slightly long-winded. Essentially, I lived with three other guys, and I had an upstairs room. Guy who lived downstairs once came in and said, "Marianne, you've left the fucking front door open again."
Oh.
Now, I don't think I was the sort of person back then who left the front door open.
And can I just say, I don't like his tone. But continue, sorry.
Having said that, my memory is very clear that he said again, which does imply that I must have done it once. But this time, I really don't think I did. And it was one of those doors that you have to shut and then lock, or people can just come in and out. But he glared at me a bit, we said no more about it. And then about half an hour later, he came in and said, "My wallet's missing, and my mini disc player." This really was a while
ago.
That's
the second mini disc on the podcast.
Yeah.
We're so old. And I said, "Well, do you think it's possible that someone came in and stole it?" And he went, "Well, yeah, because you left the fucking front door open." And I felt like shit. I felt so bad. Because this was in our 20s when we had no money. Yeah, and a mini disc player was like the height. Yeah.
I mean, that was an investment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, a mini disc player.
That was future proof.
Yeah. You say that, it would probably be worth thousands now. But I felt like really, really terrible. I still feel a bit terrible about it. But I felt really terrible about it. And I told my boyfriend of the time, who was well into this kind of shit. And he said, "I think someone stole it. Have you looked for clues?"
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no.
Were you going out with Jonathan Creek? It was about the same time.
No, but I was like, obviously we haven't looked for clues. We're not dicks. And he was like, "Go back and look for clues."
What did that involve, this looking for clues?
What we did is we looked on the windowsill, and there was a massive fucking footprint. It was totally stolen by someone who'd come in through the window, taken the stuff, and then gone out through the front door and left it open because we were in the house.
Didn't want
to clang the door shut, didn't want to alert us to their presence.
First of all, you're in the clear. Second of all, this cunt left his window open.
Yeah.
Again, probably.
That was the crime.
And you solved, you kind of solved it.
Well, I'm annoyed because a man solved it. I was there.
Imagine if that. It's like all of the series of Doctor Who until now.
Anyway, there's my crime.
That's excellent. It's excellent. It's got everything.
Imagine horrible if the police were that cavalier, just like, "Well, we found a footprint. What more do you want?" Yeah. We can't do everything.
Was this the 24th of December?
So magical.
I think I've blown this wide open, guys.
Nor had anyone recently lost any teeth. No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, I love a Santa crime. too.
Well, what we ask on this podcast is we ask you, if you had the person in front of you, and I'm not sure really who the perp is here, because I feel like it's the guy who was essentially gaslighting you, I think, because he's saying, again, you may not have done it a first time. He's just, I'm with Katie. I don't think this guy.
There's more than one criminal.
Yeah, so you can either talk to him or you can talk to the guy with the footprint. And what would you say to them? What would you say to them now?
I'd say what I know about you, and all I know about you, is that you have one foot. And a mini disc player. That's it. I think that would be the
but you just drop the
conversation.
Mic.
I like that. Yeah, just state facts at him.
Yeah. bamboozle him. I love it. Well, thank you very much for sharing that. That's
pleasure.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very nice. So now we're going to move on to
how was the crack? We didn't get into that.
Delicious, very pure.
Delicious.
You can get a crack grande.
Really organic.
Yeah.
North London crack.
Yes.
So today, for our true crime case, we are discussing a married couple. Is it me and Toby? No, unfortunately it's not. Okay. But there are similarities because this couple are also absolute bloody legends. We are talking about Moss and Tracy Hills. Now, these guys are musicians and they saved a lot of lives in the 90s. I mean, you're right to cheer. We were all a bit lost in the 90s. Now, that's all the information I'm giving you at this juncture. Can you guess what kind of case we're talking about?
They saved a lot of people.
They saved a lot of lives.
So we have one fan of lives. saved a lot of lives, and they were musicians.
Yeah.
They saved a lot of lives.
They wrote that song about the DJ.
Last night a DJ saved my life from a
I love like live comedy when you can see someone going like, it's the joke, I know it's there, it's coming, it's coming.
I'm still thinking about pure drugs. Did they impure drugs or something like that?
Ooh,
would that save lives?
Yeah.
Ooh, what does impure mean? Because I think Katie doesn't know.
So it was clubs checking to make sure that, okay, we don't condone illegal drugs, but if they're going to be distributed, we'll make sure that they're pure.
And oh, so people, they're not like cut with stuff.
Yeah.
I know some drug terms, guys. Cut with talcum powder.
The cutting stuff.
Yeah, the cutting stuff. Okay, so it's not any of these things.
Huh.
The clue is a similar thing happened in 1912.
Something to do with, Titanic sinking, a boat sinking. They saved people from a sinking boat.
Or they stopped everyone getting on the thing that happened in the 90s that killed people. Probably the
Clintonomics.
I'm out, Marion.
No, I've got nothing.
Well, I'm telling you, you were spot on. This
with Clintonomics. No.
With a sinking ship. So put on your life jackets and join me in 1991, where Moss and Tracy worked on the luxury cruise liner Oceanos. Which I'm sure is where I used to go clubbing at uni. Does anyone
right?
But anyway, they were on a voyage around South Africa and the captain had delayed the final...
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. Oceanos is a shit name for a boat.
It's a little on the nose, isn't it?
They were on this voyage around South Africa and the captain had delayed the final leg due to a storm. Now, we're talking 40-knot winds and 30-foot high waves.
Are those big and is that fast?
Name of your sex tape. I miss Brooklyn. No. The night before this happened, so basically this ocean liner, it sinks. It goes out in a storm and it sinks. But the night before they were playing, they were still out and the boat was rolling from side to side. But Tracy and Moss are professionals and they were playing in a little band.
They just kept playing through it.
Literally people were slipping from side to side. And indeed, what do you think the guests were doing? The guests were doing something very specific.
They were doing something very specific.
What, like apple bobbing specific?
I mean, I did hear someone say the cha-cha slide, which is very good. Slide to the left. You're going to have to, y'all.
Well, yeah, I suppose
real scared this time. Everybody, cross your fingers.
It's a good opportunity to learn to moonwalk.
That would really help it along. They were all hula hooping.
Guys, they did a conga. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you?
Legend.
Yeah.
I remember I once, I was in a restaurant once and I was being dumped. And I got dumped. I mean, thank you. Yeah, I think that was a shock, wasn't it? That was,
Had you ordered?
I think he knew I liked to eat, so he did it after the meal. And so I went to the toilet to like have a little cry, because I'm not going to cry in front of no man. And
then you came back and ordered more, right?
I just ordered another 5 years of the relationship, please. But no, that didn't happen.
She's married now. Stop it.
When I came out of the toilets, there was just a whole group of people doing a conga around the restaurant.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like... I couldn't get back to where he was sat looking at me going...
The conga breakup restaurant.
Literally.
Wow.
Yeah, horrible, horrible man. So... they did a conga.
So they didn't realise how serious this was quite yet.
No, they did not. And apparently there was also a wedding happening on board the night before.
Oh, no!
And in Tracy's own statement of events, she said the organist kept doing something. What was it?
I'm trying to call for help because no one was taking it seriously.
Was he playing sports songs on the organ?
Is it like, if you're getting married in international waters, is that like, can you then have quite a dodgy wedding?
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, in the same way that you can do a crime in international waters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can kill your spouse if you get married on a boat. Just some top tips.
Guys, apparently she just kept throwing up.
Oh no! Onto the organ.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why there's so many keyboards, though. It's like, well, that one, that one's out of commission. I'll go to the top level.
So they had to obscure her view from the wedding party. What do you think they used to obscure the view?
Ooh, like a changing, one of those folding.
Oh, the folding
things.
Distraction.
Yeah, conga line.
Marianne, any advance on conga line?
I'm still thinking about the vomit dripping between the keys. Like, would you? Had they invented the things that you use to clean your ears?
Oh, earbuds.
Yeah, had they invented those
in the in 91.
I think they had a
cool
primitive form
they were
of
hearing. I'll stop worrying about it.
Just one of them for your mouth. What's the link?
No. Well, I was.
To clean the keys.
Yeah, to clean, get in between. Unless you can think of something better.
Did they hang like a big priest's robe over it?
Apparently, they just shoved a huge bouquet of flowers in front of her.
Aww.
Which I thought was nice.
How big?
These people are in such denial.
But this was the night before it sunk.
This is the night before.
This is the night before. So let's go.
Okay.
Let's now.
So
go
did
to
they
the
then
night.
Dock? Or did they just...
Yeah, so they docked and the wedding party got off and then they were going for their final leg. So it's still really stormy the next day, but the captain makes a call and says, we're going to go. So they're going, they've been travelling for 5 hours.
Old Captain Ne'er-do-well.
Yeah.
Definitely listen to his call.
So Moss and Tracy are setting up for the gig when all the lights go out. So they're expecting to hear an announcement from the captain, but lots of confused passengers enter the lounge, not knowing what to do or, you know, where to go. What do you think Tracy and Moss do? They're probably in about their sort of... I realise I haven't set them up very well. They're probably in about their 40s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a married all couple, right. Kind of sexy, kind of cool.
Okay.
So an audience member has said shag.
Shag?
Yeah.
Let's check.
The lights have gone out. A load of people have come in going, what's going on? And they've gone, do you know what?
Did they start playing? Was it like Titanic? Like, keep them calm? But it was the 90s, so it was like, wow. It was garage bands. Like, everybody relax.
Any advance on Craig David all over that boink?
Would they tell it? Like, I'm only thinking of sensible answers now. Everyone, go back to your rooms. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine?
I mean, if I've got a minute, I just take my bra off because that's her, but I don't know about her.
Okay, Tracy takes the bra off.
No,
yeah. I think that's a very good...
No. Yeah, it's a crisis.
At least undo it, right? Yeah. Like, if nothing else.
You need to be comfortable when you're evacuating.
Yeah.
Yeah, no sharp shoes, take worn clothes, and take that bra off, because you need to relax. One of you is right. It is Taylor. They just did the show right there.
In the dark?
In the dark, using acoustic guitar. They did lots of sing-alongs to keep everyone calm, because they weren't sure that this was, you know, going south at this point, really.
Because there's been no announcement.
There's been no announcement. So after a while, after about an hour, there's still no announcement. So Moss goes down to the engine room, sees some officers running around, some carrying bags, some had life jackets on, and some were wet. So Moss said, like, he tried to ask them what was going on, and they ignored him. So the deeper Moss gets into the boat, he realises they're taking on water and they are going to sink. So he rushes back up to the lounge, and Lorraine Betts, love Lorraine, the head of the entertainment staff, said the captain had told her they had to abandon ship. But there had been no announcement, so nobody was taking control of this situation.
Wow.
Crazy. This is Titanic, but with Nokia phones. It's amazing.
So apparently one lifeboat had already gone. Guess who was on it?
The captain.
Any advance on the captain?
Oh my God, Captain Ne'er-do-well. Yeah, I think it was the captain.
Oh. I mean, I'll tell you now, it wasn't the captain, but we will come back to him.
What a bad, bad man.
Oh, I love it, like Panto season. Ooh.
I mean, but correct.
What did he do? He said, put that bra back on! Any advance on what these guys said?
I mean, isn't that the main thing about being a captain is you're not allowed to abandon ship?
It's
That's the like
main
the
rule.
One thing I learned from Titanic.
Basically, it was a lot of the crew and the senior officers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
Right?
So they just hopped on a dinghy and fucked off.
I mean, actually, to be fair, that is...
It's called a dinghy.
That is actually still like the real Titanic.
Yeah.
Yep. I learned that too.
Sands, actually, in tight islands, that a really big bit of wood can only take one person.
We all took that, didn't we?
Name of your sex tape. So. Oh, very, very crass. Very crass. So basically, here starts the rescue mission of 581 passengers from this sinking ship run by the entertainment staff.
Wow!
This story is fucking bonkers. They didn't know how to launch lifeboats.
We're gonna save each other one at a time. We're gonna save each other. Your life and mine. Oh! Like, it's ridiculous.
We were doing the sound check earlier, someone was singing, and I was like, we don't sing, we should just talk. And of course we fucking sing. They didn't know how to launch the lifeboats or how to keep them steady as people got on. So Moss improvised by standing with one leg on the deck and the other on the lifeboat and just sort of like putting people across. And the boat at this point is still rocking from side to side. 40 knot winds, that is a lot.
Are the staff wearing hats?
That's a good
like
question.
Sparkly hats. I need to. I'm trying to visualize.
Like, oh, the entertainment star.
Yeah, like Butlin's red coats kind of thing.
Yeah. I think they'd very much still be in the spirit of things. I like to think.
Maybe Jules cowboy boots as well.
I mean, do we know what their fee was for this gig?
Well, I know. Yeah,
They're going the extra mile. And I'm
do
just
you know
wondering.
What? Like, I was once on a hovercraft.
Go on.
I know, it was going very well. We hit gale force 9 winds, and it was only to France, and loads of people were sick into their sick bags, and we all had to sit down. And I was like one of 3 people that weren't sick. But that was quite... thank you. But like
entitled
that...
Katie.
fucked up, flicking my hair. But other than that, I'm pulling this off. But that was Gale Force 9. So I can't even imagine, like, what, you know, I would have... Loads of... Not just the organist would be being sick. This would be pandemonium.
Yes, there was... I mean, there was... I saw how you reacted to the organist sicky story. And I thought there was a lot of sick, basically, guys. A lot of sick. A lot of... Yeah, it's not great. So this is going on over a couple of hours. They're trying to get people off onto the lifeboats. After a while, they realised that, you know, the lifeboats are smashing against the boat. They have to do something else. So they made their way to the ship's bridge for help because they're like, we have to find the captain.
Is it dark? Is it nighttime?
It's nighttime.
Okay.
They wouldn't have even noticed if the lights went out if it was daytime. But...
You would in this room, wouldn't you?
That's very true.
And it's light outside.
So they go to...
What's the bridge?
Oh.
On a ship.
It's like the captain's bit.
Where the big wheel is.
Yes. It's where they have the steering wheel.
Cool.
But yeah, so it's the bit where the captain, like, basically drives the boat from. So what do you think they found up there? What do you think they found up on the bridge?
Well...
Penguins.
Okay.
That was for the third night of entertainment.
If this is more of than a... So far, this is a crime of just neglect and someone being shit at their job. But if it's a bigger crime than that, maybe the captain was trying to kill someone or some people on board. So maybe he's just left a note saying... Fuck you, Doreen, or something.
Knowing that it would get really wet. So, like, not in pencil or biro, but in a fountain pen.
Yeah, he just knew she'd see it.
I know when I'm plotting a murder, I like to write a post-it note with the person's name on it.
I remember someone telling me once about the fact that there's this old woman who goes around and instead of going into a home, she just goes on different cruises because she's got a bit of money and they take really good care of you on a cruise. So, like, actually, that's great advice if you're like a rich old lady. And apparently she goes on so many of these cruises that she's like memorized the quiz questions. So she just goes to the quiz and just like sits there and is just like Jakarta or whatever.
Oh my god! It's like Groundhog Day.
I know, what a great lady. But guys, they get to the bridge. There is no one there.
Okay.
It is abandoned. Not the captain. Not a single crew member. So they grab the radio and just start shouting. What do you think they're shouting?
We've got some great suggestions from the audience.
Drunk women solving crime.
The year, 2147. Only four humans remain. But can they pass as robots in order to save humanity? Guys, how do we act like robots?
Just say, I am a robot?
Starring Becky Sainty as Sally, Brenda Schmidt as Greta, Helen Nolan as Aunt Bertha, and Annie Denton as Annie Denton.
I am a robot.
Yeah, that's great.
No, really, I am a robot.
Annie Denton's been a robot all this time?
Robo Sapiens, coming to cinemas this fall. This time, it's personable.
Want to become a patron? Go to patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, they're probably going to shout stuff they've seen in films. Mm-hmm. So Mayday and SOS and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, any advance on Mayday, SOS and that kind of stuff?
I'll never let you go, Jack.
I'll never let you go, Jack.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is all a musical now. So like we're sinking. I'm thinking we need a little help. I never trained. It's just it's natural born talent.
What do you think they shouted down the radio?
I don't know, but I think if I were in that situation, I'd want to do my pirate voice. So, like, whatever it would be, it would have like an R at the end of it.
Yes. It's a missed opportunity otherwise.
Well, yeah, quite particularly because you can't even take a selfie because, as you say, Nokia phones.
Yeah.
So you've got to do something to make it memorable.
We are going down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, May Day. Guys, it was May Day. You May do the Day. Thing you've seen in a film, of course. And then...
Oh, I just thought of a good one. Sorry.
Go on.
Just so entitled.
It's
not that good. I've oversold it. Houston, we have a problem. That film didn't exist in 91, did it?
I like that. Nothing like the ship's turned into a spaceship.
You know what? They can't all be gold.
So apparently this, like... this deep voice comes on the end of the phone, picks up on the phone, fucking hell, of the radio, and says, we hear your Mayday, what are your coordinates? And this is my favourite thing.
Well, I'm wearing red trousers with a jaunty army green top, and I think I'm rocking it. Happy Pride Month, everybody.
But he says, what are your coordinates? And then Moss just says, what are coordinates?
Oh, man.
And then they just hang up.
Yeah. Then the voice says, what rank are you? And he says, I'm a guitarist. This
oh
is like
my
verbatim
God.
What they said.
This is amazing.
It's fucking crazy. And then there's a moment of silence. And the voice says, what are you doing on the bridge? And he said, well, there's nobody else here. And the man says, who's on the bridge with you? And Moss says, it's me, my wife, the bass player, and my favourite bit, and a magician.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I mean...
If you had to write that, magician would be the funniest punchline. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And what a generous partner to be like listing all of her accolades. She's not just a bassist.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's another guy which is a magician. Women couldn't be magicians in 91. There's no way.
I'm sorry. I thought he said my wife is a bassist and a magician.
That is exactly like the same words.
If we're going to die, I want her to be credited for all of her. So there's just a magician there too?
There's another guy. He's okay. A magician. I'll take Robin Boltman was his name. He's a magician. He was there. So the guy tells Moss, he says, find the captain, dude. Like, I mean, he doesn't say dude, but he says, find the captain and get him onto the bridge because this is serious. At this point, they've taken on a lot of water.
Yeah.
They've maybe got 3 hours before it's going to go under. So, and you've probably got a few hundred people have left via the lifeboats, but you've still got about 250 people on board. So where do you think Moss finds the captain?
He's gone though, right?
Oh, we just know that he's left the ship, but he's not gone?
No, but he hasn't gone. He didn't go in the first lifeboats.
Oh.
He's still on the ship.
Oh.
He's actually a really great guy.
But didn't you tell us he'd gone?
No, you guessed that he'd gone, and I said that it wasn't the captain, but we're going to come back to
him. Lying in bed holding somebody's hand? Letting the Titanic! The old couple.
Oh, that's the saddest bit.
Oh, it's funny. Joking. It's very sad. It's not a documentary. It's all right.
I mean, it did happen, Taylor. You know it happened.
Did it?
Where do you think Moss finds the captain?
In the toilet, and he's just crying.
Crying in the toilet. Any advance on that?
Was he, like, in the bridge but hiding under a table?
I like it, Kate. He can't believe that he would leave his post. I think he's just hiding. Marianne?
Is it one of those ships with like a really tall, I really don't know about ships, stick? Like the long bit.
With mast? The
mast, thank you.
Mast, sorry.
And then there's the little bit at the top. He could, thank you.
Oh.
crow's
nest. Ahoy, matey!
Yeah. Captain, is that you? I love the fact that you're thinking of this like a kind of, like literally a pirate ship, but it's far more like Speed 2 is the vibe. It was Speed 2 on the cruise ship, right? It's a cruise ship.
They might still have a mast.
They might still have a mast. I don't know. There might have been a mast, but go on. Are you thinking he's up there?
Well, that's where I would go.
Okay. To the highest point.
Well, yeah, because it's going to go down last, right?
Like a wreck.
So apparently he was out on the pool deck with all the other passengers, keeping a low profile under a stairway smoking.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Under the bridge on the ship, I could not get... No. Sometimes I should just keep it in.
Name of your... Anyway, Moss said... Moss said to the captain, he said, I need you to come back to the bridge. And apparently the captain just stared at him wide-eyed and vacant, saying, it's not necessary, it's not necessary. Wow. So I think he was kind of... he was in shock. He was not dealing with the situation well. So needless to say, the captain did not return to the bridge.
Had he done, like, a weekend course to become a captain? Like, this guy sucks.
Yeah. He is a bad seaman.
It's not necessary.
I don't want to say it. I want to say it.
My immediate question would be, at what point would it be necessary?
I
just want, we'd open the cigarettes, we'd have a chat, and I'd be like, talk me through the situation in which you would come back to the bridge if this is not that.
Yeah, yeah, what's your perception?
I mean, maybe I'm wasting the 3 hours at that point, I don't know.
But that's a really, empathetic way to get on his level, to get him to the bridge.
Yeah.
You're a really good mum.
We're all going down, though. We're all going to die on my ship.
Yeah.
We
need some bad mums.
The captain didn't return to the bridge. And so the rescue mission was continued by Moss, Tracy, Lorraine, the head of entertainment staff, Robin Boltman, the magician, and Julian Butler, a comedian.
This is amazing.
I know, male comedians used to be great. No, I'm joking. In Tracy's own account of what happened, and this is quite this is quite sort of, I found this quite moving and like couple goals. So she said, at one point, Moss and I were completely alone on the bridge and we discussed the imminent danger. We decided that if we were to go down, we would stick together and tie some spare life jackets together to hang on to. Moss and Tracy.
Where were they from?
I think they're both South African, actually.
So they were, okay.
The ship left South Africa for the final leg of its journey, wherever it was going, but they are both South African.
Gotcha. I just want to say, I would hate that.
Being tied to somebody else in a life jacket.
And then dying. But actually, no, if I'm ill, I like to be ill alone. I'm not one of those people that likes an audience. So I'm thinking if I were to drown, I would like to do so privately. And I would find it really awkward if my beloved said, no, can we tie?
Be like, that,
can we do this together? Like, that's shit.
You'd be like, that is
really terrible.
It's too invasive.
Oh, what a time to have a row.
But they're peeing in front of me. They're they're probably shitting in front of each other.
Do you know what? I think they do shit in front of each other.
Just put it out. But to do it in front of each other, you need to... Oh, you mean one's shitting and the other's... Okay, fine.
Well, just don't leave the room while they're cleaning.
They're
the
really comfortable and don't need boundaries.
I hate those couples.
Yeah. Why aren't they repressed like us?
Yeah.
We had that in our vows that we would do that. It's a horrible sight. Now, they've got help on the way. So they've done the mayday. They've done the bit. They've tried to get the captain. They couldn't get the captain. But help is on the way.
Sorry to interrupt. Location coordinates, they can still find them.
Yes, they found them. I'm not quite sure exactly how it was done, but there were a few crew members left, so maybe a crew member
helped. They managed to cobble it together.
They cobbled it together.
So the fireworks, the special fireworks.
Flares.
Flares. I remember that from Titanic.
Yeah.
The special fireworks.
They're not fun.
We're dying.
So who and what do you think is sent to help now?
A helicopter with a ladder.
A helicopter with a ladder, nice.
Final answer.
Is it the entertainment crew from another ship? We've come to save you. We know you'd do the same for us. You would. I've lost the magic.
Marianne, any?
Well, I'm still thinking about the magician, and like he's just like pulled out loads of scarves.
Oh yeah, they can all hold on.
Yeah.
Right, what have we got? We've got...
I don't know.
What was the question? Who's coming? Helicopter with a ladder.
Yes.
We've got entertainment's team.
We've got scarves from the magician with loads of scarves.
We've got scarves. It was helicopters, baby.
Yay!
Okay.
This is when it turns into a fucking movie.
With ladders.
You are half right. They had a winch. Two Navy divers winch down. They give Moss a crash course in safely getting people into a harness. The Navy guys looks him square in the peepers and he says, make sure you get it right because otherwise they'll tip upside down, fall out, and you'll kill them on the deck.
And the fucking captain's just there like, what a day.
Well, I'm not needed.
I know, not necessary.
Wow.
He finished by saying, do two at a time or we're going to run out of time. Okay, go.
No pressure then.
No pressure at all. So yeah, apparently the captain, he left on the second helicopter.
Jeez.
So yeah, this...
I hope they turn him upside down on purpose. Like, what? There's always one. I'm so mad at this guy.
I know. So Moss, like, ties himself to the railing, ties the other part of the rope around his waist, and sort of, like, attaches himself to the railing on the ship that's like this.
Wow.
And he is putting people two at a time into this
harness.
Yeah. Tracy is there, and she's sending people over two at a time. She's going, you've got to go, you know, she's running it from there.
Wow.
Robin is in a lifeboat at the bottom in case anyone falls so they can drag them out of the water. The other guy, the comedian, is on the bridge. He is like, he's keeping in contact saying, okay, we've got like this many people left on board. It's the fucking ends team. It's fucking crazy.
I thought you were going to say he was like doing a type five.
Yeah, like, guys, do you mind if I try out some new stuff tonight?
What is the deal with winches? Apparently there was this, like, this
you never notice. Like, you could die.
But, yeah, so
captains, am I right?
What do they know?
There's this bit where the harness snags on.
There's this bitch. Easy, Hannah.
There's a bit where the harness snags on the side of the boat and starts pulling the helicopter down because the right. And
oh
so,
my God, it's Die Hard, it's Titanic, it's like every good
I mean,
film.
That is an incredible elevator pitch. Like, let's do it.
Die Hard meets
Titanic.
Weird watch.
Meets Glee.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what do they do in this situation? What does Moss do? Moss is the one who does something.
Oh my God, does he just cut it? Does he just cut it and let the helicopter...
We've got cut it.
Copter.
Oh my God, does he? He's the last one and he cuts it, but it means he can't go on the helicopter.
Yes.
Just like Brian Blessed it with his teeth. That's a very specific Brian Blessed story.
Is there a bit that's sort of like this in one of the Jaws movies, or am I misremembering it, where the shark and the helicopter.
Maybe. I love
what do they do to the shark? Do they like blow it up? Or yeah, that's what I think you should do.
Oh my God. Imagine meeting Steven Spielberg. Be like, I mean, I love all of your films. But Sharknado. Oh,
I
for
love
my
that.
Money.
Like, someone in our audience will always know.
Yeah.
This is great.
That's really nice.
So apparently Moss jumped over the railing, took his rope off, was dangling off the boat, freed the harness and climbed back onto the deck.
Wow!
I mean, he's a guitarist. Is anyone else so turned on?
My favourite part of this bit as well is the fact that Tracy just goes batshit at him. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, so they have a row and they're both a bit embarrassed and it's really sweet.
Oh my God.
Oh, proper couples row.
Yeah.
But then you like start bringing in all the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
This is just like that time when.
Oh my God. Yeah.
In Sainsbury's.
You did this at Cynthia's wedding.
You take too many risks.
Yeah, I love it being just like.
This is you all over.
Because he would be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, they get everyone off, and the most important.
Hey-o!
But I think the most important thing about this story, despite how we've belittled
that is
it,
so many people. I told you I was a magician.
But the most amazing thing about this story is nobody died. Nobody, right? Yes! I mean, there was 581. And, like, literally, if you Google this at halftime, like, we're fucking Arsenal versus Chelsea.
But do watch J-Lo at the same time.
But, like, but yeah, basically, there's a picture of it going down. Like, it's like the Titanic. It's just the bow, I think, of the boat going like under, and they got off with 45 minutes afterwards. That was down, and it had been sinking for 7 or 8 hours because that's how long it takes to sink
a
ship.
Who took a photo? Well, like the helicopter.
Yeah. Do you know what? They had a disposable camera. They had a VCR, and they were like, not VCR is the one you play it on. They had a camcorder, and so they filmed. So basically, the crime in all of this is the fact that it was gross. It was negligence on the part of the captain and the crew. And they had, like, Moss had videoed some of the stuff when he went down to the boiler room, like, of them saying, no, it's fine, or whatever. So he actually, he had this camera. And there's some amazing pictures as well. Like, Google that at halftime, because they had these photos. But, yeah, nobody died, which is crazy. So, basically, when Moss and Tracy and the rest of the team arrive back on dry land, the rest of the passengers come running up to them, hugging them, and they're singing a song. What are they singing? Yeah. That's not a song, is it?
Okay, it's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Smells like Teen Spirit. 9 to 5.
Relax.
The Macarena. Relax.
Was it the Golden Girls theme? Thank you for being a friend.
My heart will go.
Oh, imagine.
I could be your hero, baby.
Oh, yeah, we could be heroes.
Well, they've already been heroes.
Yeah.
It'd be really unnecessary.
We are the
and
champions.
And also actually a bit fucking late, frankly. We can be heroes once you're all on dry land. Screw those people.
Yeah.
Thank you for the music.
Nice. Yeah.
I think the first one that was actually before 91. Like, everyone, I'm like, Inglésias was at least early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, 91.
Well, I mean, it's not that interesting. They sang for They Are Jolly Good Fellows. Yeah. It's a classic. What? Everyone knows it.
Look, you know, I bet they wish they hadn't wasted an hour singing in the first place.
I'd be so pissed if I'd saved like 100 people and that's the song I get.
What would you like?
Oh, I'll get back to you.
So eventually, like I said, a Greek board of inquiry, that's hard to say, found the captain and four officers negligent in their handling of the disaster.
Yeah.
So here is to magicians, comedians, and Tracy and Moss Hill. Cheers! So, we have got just enough time for a listener crime. Ooh. Now, I believe someone called Amy said they might have one. Amy? Yes, she is. Come on up, Amy. Give her a round of applause.
Yay!
She's so far at the back.
Yay!
Woo! Amy,
come on down. If anyone wants to join her for a conga, I think tonight's
she's
tonight. Amy, welcome. This is your microphone.
Yay!
Go wild.
Hi, Amy.
So basically, I sent you my crime back when we had COVID. And you did
we
my crime.
We still have it.
Yes.
So
we
it's still
we
relevant.
Still have it. And we now have monkeypox as well.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you. I know.
Just keep going.
So you sort of solved my crime that was homemade CDs stolen out of my car at uni.
Oh, so are you coming for a second opinion from Marianne?
Yes. So that... Hello. So, yeah. So that was my last crime.
Okay.
This is... It's not technically a crime, but I think it is a crime.
A moral crime.
Yes. I was meant to be getting married.
Oh.
You don't need no man.
I don't need...
That was my husband. That's it. Okay.
So, my ex basically demanded my ring back.
Oh.
In order to pay the rest of the money that he owes me for the house.
Oh, no.
Wow. Crime, yay or nay? Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, this is lawyers have to sort this stuff out because it's...
Yeah, it's a crime against romance, if nothing else.
Katie's like, this is above our jurisdiction. We're not...
I just mean, like...
That just feels like one for the civil court, I think.
I mean, there's a legal precedent that this is an area of definite crime. That's what I'm saying.
So what happened... I mean, do you mind us asking
who... does have legal possession of an engagement ring, actually? The wife does, because it's been given.
Well, it should be
yes.
Oh, you like she studies law, guys. Yes!
Do you know what? I believed you before you justified it. Remember me.
So, so he asked you for something that was not his to pay off debts that were his.
Yeah.
So, crime.
No, not even to pay off debts, just...
That's like, can I borrow money from you to pay the mortgage that I owe? Like, that's basically what I was saying. So, did you give the ring back? Mm-hmm. Or is it the one that you're wearing? You did give the ring back.
Okay, all right. I did, because I didn't know what else to do.
But now you've got a lawyer.
Now I've got a lawyer.
He owes you a ring, you can retroactively sue him.
Okay.
And did he sell the ring and give you the money?
Double crime!
He's not sold it yet.
How long ago was this? How long ago was this?
About 4 weeks ago.
Oh, it's so recent. Yeah. I'm so sorry. What's his name? We have connections. We will. We will take care of this.
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. If we could get a crack. Group of people together to steal it from him. Yeah. Would you be? I mean, people leave their windows open, I hear. So. I mean, like we've got the law on our side in that was your property.
Yeah, and he's reneged on a verbal promise.
Yeah.
Is
we've
he
got
single?
Him, we've got him back
Is he
to
still
rights.
Single?
No, he started dating someone 2 weeks off.
Like.
I've never heard anyone use that. That is so brilliant. May I use that? What a bin bag. That is beautiful.
It's a human bin bag.
So he's dating someone. Are you dating anyone else, if I can ask?
I am now.
Hey!
Yay! Get your Prosecco!
Oh, mate, in which case, have a Prosecco and get that ring back, get that money, and thank you for sharing. And
good riddance to him.
Yeah, fuck that guy! Amy!
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you!
We've decided this is a new thing, because... Hey, thank you, Amy!
Amy!
Like, I love how you held the bottle just then, like, is this the drink you didn't order?
Yeah. we've decided recently that we're moving on to Cava from Prosecco. So, guys, that's the hot gossip, is Cava is a thing now.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
It's so dry.
Before you can go and buy your... I mean, they might not have Cava at the bar. Guys, Prosecco is fine. But before you go and buy your drinks, we want to know, Marianne... Tell us, what are you up to? What are you doing? Where can we find you?
You can find me at my desk. You can find me on my website.
Okay.
www.mariannelevy.com. I've got a book coming out, which is why I'm here. Thank you. And it is called Don't Forget to Scream, and it's about the things that you can't talk about when you become a mother. And
or can
some of
you?
It's like, well, and it's hard, right? And yeah. Some of it's like funny, some of it's not funny. There is some stuff about my vagina, not loads. Like,
just enough.
If the appropriate amount. The reason I'm on here is that Katie and I were friends because we both write children's books and we both became mothers at around the same time, actually.
Yeah.
And we both had a pretty shitty, difficult time of it.
Yeah. And all the stuff that no one will talk about, or at least, like, they pretend isn't a problem for them.
Yeah. And Katie and I were always really honest with each other.
Yeah.
And it was really... So we got, like, really deeply friendly really quickly.
Yeah.
But it's really shit that we could talk to each other but not anyone else. That's my big feeling about writing,
like,
this book.
The stuff that's like, oh, thank God, I can tell you this.
Yeah.
But that should be more socially acceptable.
Exactly. Or I seem fine, but secretly I'm crying.
Yeah. Yeah. And you didn't see me 10 minutes ago.
Exactly. Or in 10 minutes' time. So that's what the book is about. It's about the stuff that I feel like as feminists, right? A big room full of feminists. I feel mothers or not mothers, we should just be able to say to each other and be real about and be honest about.
Yeah.
To make things better for fucking everyone.
Definitely,
frankly.
Because everyone thinks they're alone and they're the first person that this has happened to, and everyone's doing brilliantly, and it's just them that can't look after their children by themselves in the pandemic. And that was my stuff, sorry.
Not sorry. Bring it to the room.
Motherfuckers, but also.
Very entitled, actually.
This book is so... I've been lucky enough to read an advanced copy of this book, and it's absolutely incredible. Oh, like, it's made me laugh so much. It's also made me cry. It's just... There's so many amazing bits. And also, it's just... It's that thing of somebody... even though we've talked about it, this book is even more and even deeper. You've so brilliantly articulated all the batshit craziness and the heartbreaking stuff, like, and the good and the bad. And it's just like, reading it, I'm like, yes! Oh my God, exactly this. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's how I would describe it, but I didn't know how to do the words because, you know, you're so tired and bogged down and everything. So it's genuinely incredible.
Oh, thank you.
We all need to.
It's not the 21st of July, but you can pre-order it now.
And it's Don't Forget to Scream.
Sorry?
It's called Don't Forget to Scream.
Don't Forget to Scream, yes. And
can I just say
from the children's song, yeah?
Yeah.
If you see
yes.
a crocodile. Okay.
That's right.
I'm also a parent. Just throw that in there.
You're gonna
I've
it.
Only been able to have sex with Toby for 3 weeks. And it's horrible, isn't it?
Yucky!
I might be pregnant, I don't know. No, I don't think I am. Sorry, but yes, brilliant. Sorry, Katie,
sounds
one
amazing.
More thing you wanted to say.
I was just, there's so many brilliant bits, but there was one bit that really made me laugh near the beginning of the book. Because you were talking like you were upset about something and your husband was comforting you and he was like rubbing your back. And then like you say, you put it so, like you both realised at the same time that he was burping you.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, and the swaying back and forth. I did that for years because you just get so used to always doing this. And I did it
like
until she was
pendulum.
Like five and she wouldn't even be with me and I would just be back and forth like a fucking metronome. Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, pre-order that book. Order that book. It sounds amazing. And everybody, please give it up for Marianne Levy. We will be back in about half an hour for the second show. So have a drink, get some fresh air, have a wee or a poo, and just enjoy yourself. See you in a bit.
Yay! Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Hold up.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.